Hey friends, it's your intrepid warrior, David Land Julie, on the Fundraising Leadership Podcast with my good friend and colleague, Margaret Katzcan. Hey, Margaret.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. Hey, Margaret, we have a special guest today. We haven't really had many guests on in a while. And Amy Daughters, I kind of combined her name when I was first saying that. Amy Daughters is here with us. Her publicist reached out to us because she's got a really interesting take on how to develop deep and enduring relationships, and it's using a new tool. It's actually an old tool, but it might be a new tool in the age of AI. It's called, wait for it. Why don't you tell us what it is, Amy?
It is letter writing, letter
Letter
note.
writing. Like long, you mean like penmanship?
Oh yeah, like penmanship, like all of that.
Oh wow. I'll just share one thing. I had a conversation. We were talking about having conversations and reconnecting with people before we got on the podcast, and I just reconnected with somebody I hadn't spoken with in like 20 years. And she lives out in Wyoming, and she was in my Leadership Wyoming class. And she's like 80 years old now. She was on the city council in Casper and lives up in Jackson. But she's a letter writer. She has like four children and multiple grandchildren. And she's telling me how like she writes letters, like handwritten letters, which we're going to talk about, to some of her grandchildren. And then she spoke to one of her child, whose child this is, and said, "Well, I never heard anything back from my grandbaby. What, like, did she get the letter?" And her daughter said, "Oh yeah, she got the letter, but she couldn't read it because she can't read cursive."
Unbelievable.
I was
Yeah, I heard a similar story on a podcast I did yesterday, and the mother actually had to transpose the grandmother had written some on a birthday card, and she had to transpose that part of the birthday card almost like she was translating it so she could the granddaughter could get the message. Yeah, it's fascinating though that's what we've come to.
I
It
will say,
is.
when my kids were young, they did know how to read handwriting, but the first time that I asked them to write thank you notes, and as a former frontline fundraiser, I'm a big fan of the handwritten thank you note. They wrote the notes as requested to grandparents or whatever, and then they didn't know where to put the stamp on the envelope.
Oh, absolutely.
But now they do.
Absolutely.
They're good now. But yeah, it's a dying art, but it shouldn't be, right? And I think that's what we wanted to hear about. Amy,
Yeah.
you've been dedicated to this topic.
Yeah, and
Yeah,
I think.
before we go there, let me give Amy a more formal
A
introduction.
proper
A
introduction.
proper, even though this is, maybe we should call this the improper podcast. Every
Improper
podcast, I'm coming
podcast.
up with a different name for a podcast, Margaret.
That's true.
The
You're wanting to
improper.
rebrand, I can
The
tell.
irreverent, podcast. We're going to do a rebrand, but Amy Daughters is a keynote speaker, a letter writer, which we've already talked about, a satirist. Well, I want to hear some satire today in our conversation. A sports journalist. Well, maybe we'll have an opportunity to talk about jujitsu and skiing, because Margaret was a competitive skier for quite a while, and still can whip my ass on the mountain for sure. And she's an award-winning author of two books, Dear Dana, The Time I Went Crazy, and wrote all 580 of my Facebook friends a handwritten letter. We want to hear about that and how that went. And You Cannot Mess This Up, A True Story That Never Happened. Oh, I like that. We haven't talked about that, so maybe we could share a little bit about what's going on with that. She is absolutely convinced that when human beings connect individually in a meaningful way, that nothing can separate them. Well, we certainly believe in that. So let's talk about whatever you want to talk about, Amy. Writing letters, connecting with human beings, a little satire. Where do you want to go?
Oh yeah, I'll throw the satire in right away. I'll just throw that in intermittently. No, my whole I became the letter writing lady, like the letter writing lady. I run around and talk about letter writing, but I came upon it completely by accident. And as it turns out, we have this incredible tool in our human being toolkit that can be used. And Margaret, you said, being a frontline fundraiser, we have this tool that takes about 15 minutes of time. About 73 cents, and it can actually blow the doors off of any human relationship, whether it's a leader employee relationship, it could be customer facing, it could be donor facing, it can be just in your personal life. But when I first started talking about this, I thought I was going to be an inspirational speaker, which I kind of am because the story is very inspirational. But it turns out this is a tool can be that's applicable anywhere where there's a relationship that can just absolutely enhance any relationship and drive things like retention and I'm sure donations. And you can pivot it any way you want to. And it's a powerful, powerful tool that we all have.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I agree.
I'd love to sort of queue up. I was very intrigued by the title of your book about writing to all of your Facebook friends. And I am guessing there's a story behind that act and the book, and would love, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I like to say I was minding my own business because I was doing my sports writing and my other stuff. And I innocently got on Facebook one day, just like we all do. And I had a friend that I had worked with at a summer camp with 35 years ago. We hadn't had one any kind of reconnecting point. We hadn't seen each other on social media. There'd been no text, no phone mail. I mean, nothing. We'd just gone. We probably spent 6 weeks together at this camp. And the only thing I really remember is we were both loud and thought we were funny. So there was our connecting point. I'd always remembered her. So one day I'm on Facebook. I type her name in, Dana. There she is. Voila. She pops up. I friend request her because it doesn't mean anything. She accepts my friendship request. And I spend the obligatory, 7 minutes going through her life on her Facebook profile. And I find out right away she's overachieved in children. She has five kids, four girls, and one son. He's the youngest. His name's Parker. And right away I find out that he's fighting cancer and he's at the St. Jude Hospital, Children's Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. So it's serious. So I immediately become engaged in the story as a mom, as a human being, as a person. I was like, this is the worst case scenario, but I was kind of overfeeling it. So I watched along. I didn't comment on anything. I didn't like anything. I just watched the story, play out. He went into remission. They went home to somewhere in Louisiana. And then about 10, 12 months later, she begins to post again that the cancer's back and they go back to the hospital. And so I am sitting at my desk one Monday morning after reading all this, and it was like I got hit with a bolt of lightning. I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start sending Dana and her son Parker letters, little cards of notes of encouragement to the Ronald McDonald House in Memphis. And I hadn't written anyone a letter in 25 years, so I didn't come into this thing being, what about letter writing? That's a good idea. But and I knew when I was doing it was a little irrational because who sends strangers notes in the mail? But I couldn't stop myself. So I do this for about 12 months. I mean 12 weeks or so. I write the letters, sending them, not knowing what's going on with. I know what's going on because of Facebook, but I don't know if they're receiving them or what's happening on their end. And then towards the end of that year, Dana's posts, they began to kind of shift in tone, and you could tell that something was, really wrong. And then she eventually posted that, unthinkably, Parker had passed away at only 15 years old. And it had nothing to do with me. Really devastating, but I did sit there and think, well, what am I going to do? Because I felt so like the letter writing thing was the thing. And then I was like, I'm just going to keep writing her because I really felt compelled to do that. So now I go really crazy and like I got to get an address. Oh, I had met her husband the year before I'd met her. I knew he was an attorney. So I start sending her letters there. And that makes a lot of sense. That's crazy. And there's different levels of crazy in this story. So I write her for about 4 months. And every week I write her, I'm thinking, this is crazy. This is irrational. I mean, what does it even mean? And then lo and behold, about 4 months into me writing her, I go out to my mailbox and there's a 10-page letter from her. And that kicked off 2 years of us communicating exclusively through the US mail. And it created this unbelievable free space where I didn't know when she was reading what I wrote. She didn't know when I was re reading what she wrote. So we didn't have to respond to anything. And we trusted each other, regardless of the fact that we didn't know what each other believed or we didn't know how we voted. We knew nothing about each other except for we cared about each other because we were sharing our entire lives via the US mail. And we would say stuff like, oh, I've never told anybody this, but I know I can trust you. And that's, it's absolute craziness. And it was so profound to me that this person, and I was looking at my life from the outside in, and these letters almost like it was Dear Diary. It was so, it created this entire different reality for me that I hadn't seen. And about 8 months into writing her and I having this exchange, I was like, you know, if this one random girl from Louisiana can change my life in this way from these letters, what about the other hundreds of people that are on my list? What's up with them? And so then I got the big idea, the big crazy idea. Like, I went Bananagrams and I took everyone's name and put it in a box. I bought stationery and I spent 18 of the best months of my life writing 580 handwritten letters to all of my Facebook friends. And now, guys, I can't shut up about letter writing because it is so powerful and it really does have the potential to actually change, to reconnect, to, you know, rekindle relationships, and also to make us forget all the differences that we have, you know, that separate one person from another.
And then you went and wrote a book about this whole experience, which was probably another few months of your life. But that sounds quite daunting. So I want to go back, and I might be sound, and I want to keep the audience here. You know, writing set 580 letters, like yeah, hit the tune out button. No, stay here, guys, stay here, because it's just one letter to one person can change a life. One letter to one person can change a life for sure. And I'll just let that sink in. Like someone you maybe you're connected to on Facebook and would just really and is going through something like Amy did, or like someone in my life right now, one of my fraternity brothers who is he was my roommate sophomore year, and his wife just passed away. And I'm going to go see him this weekend. And this is a group of guys who just, you know, if they saw me crying here on the podcast, they would probably, you know, laugh me out of the room. But I really feel for him. And I've written him letters over the years, and his wife as well, because I got very close to her because she was in our room like every weekend for that whole academic year. And I've gotten to know them really well, and she was such a sweet person. And yes, and Michael would always, my friend Michael would always write a albeit not a handwritten note, but he wrote like a year-end letter, a Christmas letter to all his friends, which was always very inspiring. So there are different forms of this, but it can be very profound. And there is something about the analog nature of letter writing, handwritten letter writing, that I want to invite Margaret into comment on, and either that or any other direction you want to go in, Margaret, with this.
Well, I mean, I think I learned something very profound about handwriting. And I know this sounds self-evident, but this way in which our hand and our brain is connected. And I mean, it's sort of a silly story, which is that when I was in seventh grade, we had an open note science test. And one of my friends asked if she could borrow my science notebook the night before because she had missed a few classes and she just wanted to look at my notes and copy my notes. And then she left my notebook home on the day of the test. So there I was at the open notebook, the open notes test with no notes because I had, you know, my good deed had gone punished. But I remembered it all. Like because I had written it down by hand, it was right there in my memory and I did fine on the test. And it's funny, even then I started, and it was a science test. So my science teacher, I think, held me in the space of like, well, what did we learn from loaning out your notebook? But it wasn't the thing she was looking for. It was, wow, something different happened. And I write a lot by hand, not just letters, but I'm an avid journaler, which I know David is also. And I really find sometimes I'll ask myself a question that I don't know the answer to in my brain, but you know, lo and behold, something starts coming out. You know, my pen just starts scribbling across the page. So I do think there is a profound art, science, something, a way that we are connected and that our hands can express wisdom through writing that we may not be aware of in our brains. So I'm a huge fan of writing
Yeah,
letters, journals.
I agree with that. I think that there's science behind, the whatever's released, into your system when you're handwriting. And I, experienced that over and over again. It did change my perspective. And I, you become more grateful for people, you feel more connected to them. But the act of handwriting it down, and also to the reader, they knew you took the effort to handwrite it down, and that takes more effort. And even if it's two short sentences, and I agree with something you said, David. The thing about my story is the universe gave me this story with 600 letters to tell, but that's not what it's about. And it's not about writing 600 letters. And that's just a great jump off point to have the conversation. It's one letter to one person. It's two sentences. It's six pages. It's whatever your personality is. You do this your way. There's no way to get it wrong. And you can use it in a million different ways. I still get up every morning and pick one person to write a note to. And I do just what you were talking about, David. I see a friend who maybe lost somebody or had a special birthday or had a significant achievement. And it's as easy as literally 8 minutes of my time getting a note card out and saying, "Dear Margaret, congratulations on blah, blah, blah. I'm glad we're still connected. Remember you're valued," or whatever, Amy. That's it.
There's something I'm just thinking. A good friend of mine just lost his father about 2 weeks ago. And I'm thinking about this evolution, which is worth exploring, and that, this is a person who I love dearly and, in another era would have written a handwritten letter and still could and can, but like we've just been texting and talking on the phone and like this migration, because he's somebody that I talk to regularly. That the phones come out instead of the pen, and it's hard to fight that. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking like, I never sent him a note, which I send a lot of notes also, as you do, maybe not with the same discipline, but it's funny how that relationship sort of almost left the note writing space into the like regular texting and talking space, and how.
I have those people too, and I try just because of the story, and just because, and the other thing is, the way it makes me feel. I can remember every day that for everything that's going on, there's one good thing that gets put out into the world, that I can be a part of. And I just, the best version, the absolute best version of myself was those 18 months that I wrote the letters, because I was a different person when I was looking at everyone individually and taking time to deliberately reach. And I didn't intend to go on some meaningful journey like with a unicorn with rainbows shooting out of my butt somewhere. I had this plan, and I journaled through the whole thing, and I was going to try to accomplish it. And it turned out I will never be the same person that I was before, because it was just so,
It was transformative. Yeah, I could see
a
that.
great word.
And I just have like a practical question that's on my mind. Like, how do you get the mailing addresses for 580 Facebook? Like, there must have been some sleuthing involved or some requesting, because you've got me motivated to do more of this. And with people, I interact with a lot of people on LinkedIn, and I might like to send them, instead of like an acknowledgement over the chat box, a nice letter. So how do you find people these days?
Yeah, and then I didn't, and again, I walked into this not intentionally. So I'm a numbers girl. So I had about 40% of the addresses already of these people. The next step is obviously reaching out to a mutual friend who may have the address on the Christmas card list. And then the next level for me was, if I knew where you worked, that's an easy, non-intrusive way to send a nice little note, like especially school teachers, super easy. Or if on LinkedIn, where, now that we're all working, so many people work from home, it makes it more complicated. But there's a lot of, you could send it to wherever their business mailing address is. And then my last resort, and I like the whole surprise thing at the beginning of the letter writing project, I would just direct message them, ask them for their address. And that to me was almost more awkward than writing the letter. But I realized when I was doing it, it's a big ask. Like, can I please have your physical address? And I
These
would,
days,
right. And I would say in the
like
message,
I'm old enough to remember the phone book, okay? And like, at least in whatever, like the five boroughs of New York City, you could find somebody's address if they had a phone number. It was like,
Right.
okay, there they are. Right? It was their name, their address, and their phone number. So those days are kind of gone. And
Or
with all
yeah.
the privacy concerns, and I think if you know somebody reasonably well, that's not such a big request. But if it's a more distant contact, people are very, very cautious, rightfully so these days. So I understand that. Something
Right.
else. But you gave some good tips. I like the if they even deliver mail to corporate addresses anymore. I don't know. I might try that a little bit. But there's something else that you and Margaret mentioned about the handwriting exercise. Like both of you, I journal. It's a practice I started maybe about 13, 14 years ago when I was leading a fundraising team at Princeton. I had already gotten into a lot of handwritten letters from all my years of doing fundraising. And so I read Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way, where she recommends this daily practice of morning pages, which I do recommend to everyone in the audience. You could just look up morning pages. She'll give you this little blurb on what this practice is all about. If you've gotten out of the habit of writing handwritten things at all, and you're interested in taking some of this on, that would be a good place to start. But what I have discovered, Margaret and Amy, is, and especially Margaret knows I like post 3 days a week on LinkedIn. Most of those posts come either late in the afternoon or right in the morning, and I'm posting at 6 a.m. on deadline, and you're both journalists, and so you know, like, okay, you got to get this piece written, edited, and out the door by the deadline. And so I've kind of gotten into that practice also. And but the many of them emerge with just what the idea comes to me, and then I just start writing it out longhand in my journal, and then I transcribe that, to my other fingers on the keyboard. I edit it and I send it out. And that process can sometimes just take 15 minutes. It just comes out. It's like diarrhea, it just comes out sometimes.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think, for me, a lot of the ideas I come with writing, I have notebooks all over the place, and I'm always writing, writing everything out. And that's when the idea comes, usually. That's when you get to whatever it is you were trying to get to. And it absolutely releases something in within you, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amy, what, like, who did you hear back from? And I'm not specifically, but what did you
Right.
set in motion
Oh, it
for?
was a I couldn't even keep up with the amount of the response rate was about 75%. And that counted anyway, like if I saw you at the supermarket and you said thanks for the letter, or if you handwrote me a letter. By and large, people wanted to respond in kind. They thought it was so different, and it was shocking in 2017 to get a letter in your mailbox. And the other thing people would ask me when I did ask for an address, they wanted to know what I wanted because they wanted to know what the hook was. Like, what are you going to try to sell me? Because that's the world we're in, and that's great. People couldn't believe that there wasn't a hook. Like, it was just going to be a letter. And then, they took the amount of effort and time it took on your part, and it made them feel like they mattered, and so then they wanted to respond in kind. And the thing that, so about 75% of the people responded, and people told me so many personal things, no matter how long it had been since I'd been with somebody, they felt so individualized and seen and heard that they wanted to tell me, and I was overwhelmed with the responses. And it really got to the point where I kind of, at the beginning of my journal, I wrote what I thought would happen with the letters. And one of the outcomes I did not expect was I felt guilty. I'd opened 580 doors. Like, you can't do that, and you can't keep up with that. But I realized if I could just respond and then their people took care of them, that we'd be fine. But people told me so many personal details. But that's just a credit to how powerful letter writing is, or card writing, or note writing, as opposed to how great a letter writer Amy Daughters is. We all have this
Yeah.
tool.
What changed for you as you put this out into the planet?
I think that, the number one thing is I and it's in my bio. I just don't, I feel like nothing can separate us when we connect with somebody in a deliberate way like that. Because I wrote a lot of letters during the 2016 presidential election cycle. When you write somebody, they're not standing on the same side of the big abyss we're supposed to stand on now. And I realized when I reached out to them and then kind of put them in order of my life, like here's where I met them. I go looked at, I went and looked at their life and what they did and, losses, struggles, accomplishments, and then realized that these were people that meant something, that whether I'd spent 10 minutes with them or 10 years doing regular life together, that they fit into my life somehow. And so when I expressed that to them and then they replied to me, I realized, you know what? I don't care so much about how you voted. It matters, but it cannot tell, it does not prevent us from connecting with other people and learning from them. And so now I look especially at those 580 people differently because I feel connected to them. I don't.
I want to put an accent on the connection piece and bring this back. Something just came up as you were talking about this. There's something very primitive in the pen to paper, the kinesthetic part of that. Like I think about any kind of crafting, sculpting, metalworking, woodworking with our hands. This is again analogous to writing in my crazy way of thinking. And I've done sculpting and woodworking and metalworking with my hands and house building and wiring and plumbing and all this stuff, which we're getting farther and farther away from. Building fires, again, a very primitive thing you do with your hands. There is something very intimate, which is means like a close relationship, connectedness, when you take the time to actually do something physical. It's almost like touching someone with a letter. There's like almost a physical touch to it. I have to say, I've never thought about it quite this way.
Well, and you're absolutely 100% correct because the thing about the intimacy is I'm holding in my hand something that Margaret held in her hand that was intended just for me. And then you add the fact in that our personality is in our handwriting. That's an element we've lost, and so I'm holding this letter for Margaret and she meant it just for me, and then she's expressing herself with her handwriting. And you know what's even better? She's not gonna go start the letter over again, over and over again until she gets it perfect. Like you said, like when you're woodworking or something, it's not going to be perfect. You see the little chisel marks, and I can see her crossouts, and she can see my bad spelling, and appreciate it. But I'm saying that we're putting a more vulnerable part of ourself out, and in this world, in the climate realm right now, that is so refreshing and beautiful and meaningful beyond all the words.
Yeah. David, do you feel like there's one letter that comes to mind where you've written a letter that's had a profound impact on the relationship?
Recently, no, but I will share that in one of my recent moves here in Florida, I have this expression, life in a box. And I carried around like a box from all my moves. Like I had there was a box in my bedroom in my parents' house. And when I held on to that box till I got out of graduate school, and then they said, "Here's your box of stuff." My older sister kept a whole bunch of her stuff in their house for like 30 years. That was not me. Like there was like, "Here's your box. And by the way, we're going to be using that closet from this point forward,
Your box.
So
Yeah.
yeah, here's your box. See you later, And so life in a box. And and that's I had some of my keepsakes in this one small box, and I haven't really looked in that box. Again, this is looking, touching, feeling, something physical, not scanned in a digital form. These are physical things. Until one of our moves here in Florida, when we moved from our house out to the beach, and we've subsequently moved again, as many of you know, off the beach. But I went through that box because we're constantly downsizing. Lillian and I are kind of minimalists, and when it comes to stuff, and lo and behold, I find some letters in there. And I was like, oh, wow, these are kind of interesting. And among these letters were letters to and from both of my grandfathers from like 40 years ago. 40 years ago. And I was like, what the hell? I had no recollection of communicating. My father's father was an immigrant, and his command of the English language was somewhat limited. My mother's father was not an immigrant, but he was a I was not very close to him. I was very close to my paternal grandfather. But here we go. I had letters from, they wrote me when I was going to school, 500, 600 miles away in Virginia. They wrote me letters and I wrote back to them. And that's the power of this. Some people, including yours truly, had the wherewithal or the luck to hold on to those letters. And I am just amazed, like, at the power of just those few sentences. And it was like just those little pieces of both. And both of them used like the same size. It was like these little pieces of paper that went into like a kind of a tiny little envelope. It's very old school. And then they wrote in script. And I was like, oh my God, there they are. There are my grandfathers. There they are for me. They came alive again. Yeah, that's
It's
what
in
it,
their,
that's.
yeah, in their voice. You can hear their voice in
Yeah.
those letters. My father's passed away, who I was very close to, and I have his letters. I get them out a lot and read them, and I can hear his voice. And it's like he wasn't there when I read the letter, but he's like he's there on the other end of the letter. And but we have that power to do that right now, today. We have that power to give someone that gift, a child, a sister, and I guarantee you, people will hold on to that stuff way more than you think. They will, because we've all got a letter sitting somewhere in our house that someone gave us, and we have the power to do that today.
Yeah, and just in sharing those stories, you have the power to create a memory in your letter writing with someone else, and touch them in a meaningful way, as you said in the opening to the podcast here. Yeah, that they will appreciate, even if they never respond to you, and that letter may go in a file in a box somewhere and show up 40 years later, and they'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe Amy. I remember her. She wrote me
Yeah.
this letter. I wonder if she's still alive. Let me go find
Exactly.
out.
And I like to think all the time about the 25% of the people who didn't respond. It doesn't mean that that letter didn't mean anything to them. It just means they didn't respond. And I kind of think after the whole experience that some people are hardwired to naturally, they're going to respond because that's their personality. That's just who they are. And the people who respond are not better than the people who didn't respond. And those letters didn't have more impact. They probably all had the same impact. It's just you're not going to hear back from everyone because a letter's non-intrusive too. You're not asking for anything back. Some people just felt compelled to reply in some way.
I'm thinking
Yeah.
back as a sort of full circle. And it's funny because it was actually the same friend who borrowed my science notes. And we were friends through junior high and high school, but it was always tricky. Like we always found ourselves in a triangle, like great mean girl, whatever stuff going on, where we often were more in a place of competition than love. And when I got to college, I wrote something like just acknowledging like that in my heart, I loved her, even though I don't think that we were at our best always with each other. And she did write back, and it was super cute because she said, I picked up your letter on, on my way to dinner, and I made the mistake of this can bring tears. David, we're a mess today. I read it sitting at the table in the dining room, which was a huge mistake because I started sobbing. And anyway, we're still friends. Like she just came to visit me in Crested Butte like a month ago. And I don't know how our friendship would have, I mean, both of us contributed. I'm not saying, oh, I take full credit, but there was just something about owning up to, and I couldn't have done that face to face back then. Like it had to be written. And, you know, I believe that what I wrote and then how she responded kept us in a friendship that still endures, you know, decades and decades later. So it is a profound, it's a profound invitation.
When it does, and you just touched on it, gives you the freedom to say a bunch of stuff that otherwise good or honest that you wouldn't say if you were sitting directly in front of somebody. You've got this vacuum of, I know it's going to be read on the other end. I don't know when, but and so it gives you a freedom to say more. And I think the time to sit down and write it and the handwriting goes into that. It's like what we talked about making handwritten notes. You're going to communicate it on a different level in a handwritten letter or note than you are texting or speaking, or you're going to say something different than you would have otherwise.
Question for you guys now. Something else is coming up for me, and I want your opinion. And this might be helpful to the audience because I have an idea behind this. But so I am going to this funeral mass this coming Saturday in service in Raleigh, and some of my friends from college are going to be there, and my fraternity brother, roommate Michael, you know, and I was kind of waffling, and I'm generally not a waffler, as Margaret knows. I'm pretty decisive.
Can concur.
For good or bad, that's just how I'm wired. But maybe I was waffling because of waiting for this moment to ask your advice from you guys. So I was thinking about writing Michael a handwritten note bring a card. Okay. So now with this conversation, the seesaw has gone on the other direction. I was kind of like, I'm going to get him a card, and then now I'm back to the seesaw has popped over to the other side. Maybe I'm going to write him a note, and I wonder what you guys think about that. And then I'll chime in with something for the audience.
Sounds good. Amy, letter writing expert. Do you have any thoughts for David? I
Well, I
do.
think
I'll let you go
I
first.
think absolutely. I think you can do it in the card though. You can get the card and write your thoughts down there, or include an extra piece of paper. That's the way I started with Dana. I started with cards, and then I just there's like 10 pieces of paper in them now. But I think you absolutely go with your gut and giving him something handwritten by you, and you write your thoughts down and see where it takes you. And I think it's probably going to be something. It makes me think of Margaret's story, that he's going to have to be careful where he opens it and sits down in the dining hall and opens that letter up. And he'll probably save it. I would think he would, just based on my experience, he'll save it for the rest of his life. And the great thing about a letter is, too, guys, he can open it again. He can go revisit it in 6 months. He can read it in 3 weeks, and it can always be something that he can hang on to, and you expressing, your love and care for him and his loss of his wife. So I think absolutely 100% do it.
Yeah, so I would say concur. Yes to doing something written, because he'll be in a bit of a fog almost certainly. So even if you say heartfelt things, he may
Right.
not be able to hold on to them or have the chance to revisit them, as Amy is suggesting. If it were me, I would probably do it in a letter, just because the paper just gives me a little bit more freedom. There's something about a card that feels, even if you include an extra piece of paper, and then. I don't need to tell you what to write, but I will share that my friend Nancy several years ago got me in the habit of sending little Valentine's Day texts. Should probably do handwriting, but at least doing a text to each of my sons in which I tell them all the things that come to mind that I love about them. And so I think there's space maybe in your letter to think about expressing all of the things. And I know that you had a relationship and cared very deeply about Michael's wife, and so maybe share with him what you adored about her, as well as anything else you want to say. But my kids love getting those texts, because who doesn't want to hear what you loved about them or somebody that they loved too?
Well, that's just another great suggestion for the audience, whether you do it by text or handwritten note. Just, you know, what I love about you is, I mean, Margaret and I actually, in our leadership program and in our leadership training, we invite people to say this to colleagues. We might frame it in a different way. What I appreciate about you,
Right.
if it's a colleague, and you could do that in a letter, by the way, to a dear colleague letter. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
And certainly for children, I love that. And since both of my daughters live hours away, I might just take that up for them. That's beautiful. I love that. So these are some ideas for you. And I'm also thinking, like, instead of bringing, like, when you go for a birthday party or you go for a graduation, like, these are opportunities to write letters rather than go get a Hallmark card. You know,
Right.
that's for the audience. So, but I think we were going to, you had a challenge for the audience, Amy, I think, and maybe along these lines. So we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, the challenge is not shocking, but very simple, is to write one. It doesn't have to be a 4-page letter. I mean, you can pull a piece of copy paper out of your printer and write 3 sentences, you know, and like you said, dear child, dear colleague, dear customer, dear donor, dear whoever comes to your mind first, and you let the words flow. Say a congratulations, a supportive, you know, what I love about you, what I appreciate you, and I love the things that I love about you. And I just made a note to myself, I'm going to write my children both that letter this week. So thank you for that idea. But my challenge to the audience is get one little note card, get one little sticky note, get one piece of paper. Write something down to somebody and either hand deliver it or mail it to them, and then see what happens next and see how it makes you feel. Because really, the person who walks away the most changed from all this is the person who takes the time to sit down and write something out to someone else.
So there you have it, folks. There's the challenge. And it may be, this takes a little bit of slowing down. It's Margaret and I are, if you listen to the podcast, we're big fans of slowing down. As Stephen Covey, one of my favorite Coveyisms, with people, slow is fast and fast is slow. So when you text, because it's fast, you're actually slowing down the relationship. But when you slow down and write a letter, the relationship gets faster and stronger. So keep that in mind as you butt up against the, I don't have any time to do this scarcity consciousness. And if you really want some help with the scarcity consciousness aspects of this, reach out to Margaret and me because we do some work with individuals and leaders around this idea, like, I don't have time to write a letter. By the way, that's just a bunch of bullshit. So anyway, Amy, please do share where the audience can find you, and we're going to put this in the show notes, and then we'll bring a close to the podcast.
Right. If you go to amydaughters.com, everything is there. And also my mailing address. So if you would like to write me a letter, maybe you want to write me a letter, I will 100% write you back. And I look forward to you being in my mailbox, but that's where you can find me.
Beautiful. Anything more, Margaret? Or you want to, any final words from the writer?
Here's like the less we write, the more I realize I lose the tone in my hand for writing, but it comes back and you still know how to write. So that's the thought I want to leave everybody with. No excuses there. All
No
our hands
excuses.
are a little stiff these days.
There we go. We're doing finger exercises here, if you just to keep those fingers moving.
Yes, and I want to
Well,
say thank you to Amy for your inspiring story too. What a fun book and
yeah. And
story
where
that
can they
was.
find the book? I'm assuming they can find it on Amazon.
Yeah, any place fine books are sold, I was told to say that. But yeah, anywhere there's a book. But thank you for having me on, because like I said, I went from being someone who didn't care about letter writing. Now I just want to talk about it with everybody, and to have this platform to be allowed this opportunity, I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Amy. And folks, go put it into practice. All right, we'll see you next time.